Pierre Boulez is for me a sort of a rebel personality because he goes all the time ahead. He wants to show to the public that the composer is like a god. If you like him, you adore him. He says there is good or bad music. There is not music classic and music modern. If it's good, you like it. If it's not good, you don't like it. I think it's a good philosophy.
French writer Charlie visiting the Pierre Boulez exhibition here at the Cité de la Musique in the east of Paris. Boulez was and still is something of a rebel, an uncompromising composer and musician, sometimes seen as stern, even dogmatic. He's come out with some memorable quotes in his time, such as, "All art of the past must be destroyed," or that any composer who did not acknowledge the necessity of Schoenberg's 12-tone system was useless, or that we should blow up opera houses. Here at the exhibition, you can hear him talk frankly about his musical vision.
Vous savez que dans les concerts, nous avons une coutume, c'est celle d'applaudir l'artiste.
It's customary in concerts to applaud the performer, he says, but people are actually applauding themselves for being part of a certain musical class. Paf! Take that, you elitist music lovers. What Boulez actually wanted was to enlarge the elite, bring more and more people to listen and enjoy new forms of music, such as the serialism he championed in the post-World War II years, which did away with the likes of C and G major in favour of a fairly rigid version of Schoenberg's atonality. But however challenging Boulez's music is, it's greatly appreciated. He's clocked up 27 Grammy Awards in his more than 60-year career. That's more than Michael Jackson or Stevie Wonder. So the guy is clearly a force to be reckoned with. Éric de Vichère, director of the Musée de la Musique here at the Philharmonie de Paris, helps us see why.
Our goal in preparing this exhibition, which is a tribute for his 90th birthday, was to show probably the variety of his activity and the richness of his activity, both as a composer, but also as a conductor, as an educator, and as someone also who has been into creating institutions and tools for a musical creation, whether it's an ensemble like the Ensemble Intercontemporain or an institution like IRCAM, the Institute for Research and Creation. And even our institution, the Cité de la Musique and now the Philharmonie de Paris, are also in a way children of his thought or of his idea, was really developing musical tools for all kinds of audiences and allowing also for musical creation and new works to be created.
So perhaps without Pierre Boulez, we wouldn't be here today sitting in the Cité de la Musique?
Well, he certainly put an enormous amount of energy and strength in these projects. And it's probably, yes, thanks to his will and in a way stubbornness also, or that really he succeeded also in realizing these projects or give the impetus to realize them.
What was his vision of music? He really thought that it should be for as wide a public as possible, even though, let's be honest, his music is not easy.
One of the things we want to show in the exhibition also is the relationship with other arts. So placing his work in particular, his compositional work, into a larger context, which is the one of modernity, of discovery, research. And I think his goal also was to say there is no reason why this modern works, this creation of new works, should be limited to a small audience. We can and we have to make the necessary efforts also to make them available to a larger audience. It's not always easy music, that's true. But I think if you give the right clues, in a way, to understand them, you can do it, you can explain it.
We have this idea of Pierre Boulez being one of the 20th century's great intellectuals. He was linked up with a lot of writers and poets, René Char. Obviously, in the art world, he was friends with de Stael and Johann Miró. And at the same time, he was very interested in sort of more artisanal music, if you like, which I think is one side of him we don't always remember. And in the exhibition, there's little extracts of music from Indonesia or an extract of chanting from Togo, for example. How influenced was he by extra-European, non-European musics?
Well, there are indeed very different influences. And what we show in the exhibition is that in that early period of his career, so from the mid-40s to the mid-50s, he takes from very different influence the great references of modernity, of modern art. It's Paul Klee, it's Kandinsky, it's Mallarmé for literature. And of course, he meets also artists of his own generation in other fields, like René Char, for instance, but also the painters Giacometti, Nicolas de Staël. It's a period where there is a lot of interaction and connection between these artists. They're all, in a way, looking for the same things. They're looking for a new language. They're looking for maybe also starting anew and inventing something. And at the same time, I think Boulez also wants to expand the musical field, the musical range of sounds. And he discovers through the Musée de l'Homme here in Paris the music from other areas of the world, whether it's from Asia, from Africa. He also has the occasion to travel at that time because he's part of the theater company of Jean-Louis Barrault and Madeleine Renaud, the Renaud-Barrault company. And they travel to South America, for instance. And he discovered also a number of rituals and music from these different areas, which he tried to integrate, but not just taking sound, trying to integrate them really in his own language, and sometimes using some instruments, like it's at that time that there's a lot of percussion instruments that come into his music.
Like the gamelan.
The gamelan, the gongs and all that. So he introduces them, but in a Western language, of course, but taking these influences.
One of the pieces we can hear here at the exhibition is Le Marteau sans Maître, The Hammer Without Master. It's one of his most emblematic pieces.
It's indeed one of his most famous work. It's not one of his easiest ones because it's written for a very small ensemble, for voice also, voice, small ensemble, also with percussion. It's based on a poem by René Char. He didn't want it to be just an illustration or something like putting music to the poem, but really constructing something, taking the construction of the poem as a kind of matrix to build something where the different poems are intermixed in between. There are sections where there are no voice, where there is purely instrumental. They're kind of introductions in some way. So it's something very complex. It's certainly an interesting way of putting a poem into music, because you start from that poem, but you really construct a whole structure, which is not the structure of the poem, but is an elaboration on it.
When you go into the exhibition, the very first video you see of Pierre Boulez, an interview done in, I think, in the 1950s, and he's very jovial. There he is laughing and making a joke. We're seeing a very jovial Boulez. Was that part of your aim?
It's true that in France, probably the image a lot of people have of Boulez is of someone very serious, very polemical, and very straight. And we wanted indeed to show maybe a broader picture of him and show that he has all these aspects and try to explain them where they come from. I'm sure that a lot of this humor and this, in a way, simplicity that he has in his human relations comes also, for instance, from this experience he had in the theater world and with the Renaud Barrault company, where they were, again, they were traveling with all the crew, with everyone.
Some gypsies.
Exactly. So he can have, very good relation, easy relationship with the power people and the technicians and all the people he's working with. The musicians usually has very good contact with musicians as well. So we wanted to show that, maybe change a little bit the image that people have of Boulez, and also show his great culture and cultural interest in all these different fields, where it's visual arts, literature, theater, because it's rather unique also among composers who understand as well the other arts and can really take what they want, of course. For instance, Paul Klee, he always says that Paul Klee was his best composition teacher, because the principles that Klee was putting on paper, even in his pedagogical sketchbooks and all that, were very helpful for him in his own compositional work. So it's also all these cross references and influences that we wanted to show in the exhibition.
Pierre Boulez, during his career, he's conducted the BBC Symphony Orchestra, he's conducted the New York Philharmonic, He hasn't conducted a big orchestra here in France.
Well, he has a very ambiguous relationship to France. He got into a conflict with Malraux, André Malraux, who was the Minister of Culture at that time and who wanted to reorganize musical life in France, and obviously didn't follow Boulez's recommendations. And so he decided then to leave France and start his career abroad. And then much later, in the early 70s or late 60s, the French wanted him back. And that's why when Georges Pompidou, who was the president at that time, decided to create this center, this cultural center, who would bear his name a bit later, who would become the Centre Pompidou. He wanted music to be present in that centre, and he wanted Boulez to come back for that centre. And then Boulez presented him a project, and that was this centre that would bring together researchers in the different fields of music, acoustics, sciences related to sound, and composers, artists. And this what became the IRCAM, that promotes a lot of young composers and that does a lot of educational work also. So on one hand, Boulez has been considered as an official composer, someone who is linked to the political power, but he's been also at other times in conflict with them. And as to orchestras, it's true, he has never had a fixed position as a conductor for a French orchestra. He was offered the job several times, but he always refused because he thought that the orchestras were not maybe on the level that he wanted. And he had been indeed a little spoiled because he had played with and conducted all the major orchestras from indeed the BBC, the New York Philharmonic, and then later Chicago Symphony, Cleveland, the Wiener Philharmonic, Berlin, and all that. So I think for all these orchestras, he had always a particular role. It was to introduce 20th century music in their repertoire and making the link between the big orchestral repertoire of the 19th century and the masterworks of the 20th century.
A reminder to our listeners that the exhibition on Pierre Boulez runs at the Cité de la Musique through to the 28th of June. Eric de Vichère, thank you.
Thank you.